Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows exactly what is going to happen when he gets to Jerusalem. He knows that he is going to be rejected, that he is going to suffer, that he is going to die. And he knows that he is going to be raised again. He wants to give his disciples a bit of a heads up so that when all of this happens, they won't be taken aback or shocked or caught flat-footed or whatever phrase you want to use. He wants them to have a sense of what is going to happen. But it's not quite the path that Peter had in mind. Peter is shocked. He says, "No, you can't do that. Never. Surely not." And in that moment, much to his surprise, Peter finds himself aligned with the things of Satan and not on the side of God. Peter's notion of a messianic pathway was political, not spiritual. The longing was for someone to overthrow the Romans, to reestablish the throne of David and Solomon, and to take Israel back to her glory days. And to the extent that Peter may have seen Jesus as that person, I think maybe he saw himself as Jesus' right-hand man, and he looked for the day when he might bask in the reflected glory of all of this. He was a follower. He was a disciple. And after 3 years, he still didn't really understand exactly who he was following or exactly what that would mean. Dallas Willard, who is one of my favorite spiritual authors, thought that we have a similar problem in contemporary Christianity, that we have lost sight of what it really means to be a Christian. The kids struggled with defining a Christian. I wonder how much struggle we who are a little older might have had. He says the problem is that we have turned Christianity into a belief system that is quite divorced from the lives that we live. A religion, not a life. It's interesting that in the early church, before the followers of Jesus were called Christian, they were simply called followers of the way. Jesus had a way, a path, a way of living, and that's what these disciples, these followers, set their minds to. So Jesus sets out to re-educate Peter. He makes it plain that the cross would be his path, and that it would also become the path for anyone who followed him. And make no mistake, Jesus' invitation to us is not simply to agree with theological assertions. Jesus' invitation is for us to follow him, no matter what that means. Dallas Willard suggests that the real heresy of our modern Christianity is that we think that we can be a Christian without following. Somebody said once that just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a car. Our lives are to be changed and transformed by the life that we live in and through Christ and following him. Dallas Willard suggests that what has been preached for much of the last 100 years is a gospel of sin management. We sin, we confess, God forgives, we all get to heaven, and that's what it's all about. However, that's not the fullness of the gospel. Jesus invites us into a transformed life. A gospel that proclaims forgiveness of sin and eternal destiny, but says nothing of the life that we live between now and the time that we hit eternity, Dallas Willard would suggest, is not much of a gospel. You see, God is not just interested in getting us to heaven. God is interested in getting heaven into us. Peter was a disciple. He had heard Jesus' invitation, and he had left everything to follow him. For 3 years, he heard Jesus' teaching, saw miracles, and was even sent out on missions of preaching and healing himself. He heard Jesus' proclamation of the kingdom of heaven, and he saw it manifest in supernatural ways. One could have interpreted these 3 years almost as a time of apprenticeship, a time of learning the ropes of how to live the kingdom life that Jesus proclaimed. But today's text makes it clear that Peter simply had not quite gotten it yet. In Jesus' response to Peter, he defines discipleship. If anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. It was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true today. The part that most sermons on this text miss is found in the word want. If anyone wants to be my disciple. At the core of our being, what do we really want? Do we want to be disciples of Jesus? Not do you want to go to church or do you want to be a member of the church, but has Jesus so captured your heart that you want to be a disciple, a follower? Dallas Willard, again, my favorite author, wrote, "A disciple is a person who has decided that the most important thing in their life is to learn how to do what Jesus said to do." Being a disciple is not for the faint of heart. The starting point is to deny self. But do we really even understand what that means? I think it's about answering the question, who's in charge? Do we spend our time, effort, and energy seeking after what we want? Or do we, like Jesus, say to our Father, "Thy will be done"? Jesus also tells Peter that there will be a cross to take up. That in the same way that Jesus accepted the suffering that would come his way, we should not be surprised when we find that this Christian life is not all clear sailing. While I don't think that Jesus meant that we should go out of our way looking for crosses, when they do confront us in our lives, our call is to accept them with the same humble obedience that Jesus lived. And finally, he says, follow. There are times when I really quite envy those disciples that lived when Jesus was on earth. They could physically see Jesus. They could walk the paths that he walked. And they knew if they were with him or not. They knew if they had somehow wandered astray. By his word and spirit, Jesus continues to lead, guide, and direct us. Somehow that feels a little more challenging than if we had lived 2,000 years ago in Galilee. And yet, as the kids pointed out, we have the Word of God, the Scripture, and we have the church in which we can help and support each other in discerning that way and following that way. But what is the ultimate goal of this life of discipleship? The easy answer might be to say, well, heaven, of course. But Paul says, what is happening along the way is that we are to be transformed into the image of Christ. Dallas Willard puts it this way: discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if Jesus were you. And as we pursue this great spiritual adventure, it is with Jesus' promise that he will continue to call and to draw us to himself for time and for eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen.